Peter Evans knew that his client, George Morton, despite his intense interest in all things environmental, had an even more intense interest in pretty women. And indeed, after a quick introduction to Einarsson, Morton happily allowed himself to be led away by Ava Jonesdotter, who was tall and athletic, with short-cropped white blonde hair and a radiant smile. She was Morton's type, Evans thought. She looked rather like Morton's beautiful assistant, Sarah Jones. He heard Morton say, "I had no idea so many women were interested in geology." And Morton and Ava drifted away, heading toward the glacier. Evans knew he should accompany Morton, but perhaps Morton wanted to take this tour alone. And more important, Evans's firm also represented Nicholas Drake, and Evans had a nagging concern about what Drake was up to. Not that it was illegal or unethical, exactly. But Drake could be imperious, and what he was going to do might cause embarrassment later on. So for a moment, Evans stood there, wondering which way to go, which man to follow. It was Drake who made the decision for him, giving Evans a slight dismissive wave of his hand as he disappeared into the big tent with Einarsson. Evans took the hint and ambled off toward Morton and the girl. Ava was chattering on about how 12% of Iceland was covered in glaciers, and how some of the glaciers had active volcanoes poking out from the ice. This particular glacier, she said, pointing upward, was of the type called a surge glacier, because it had a history of rapid advances and retreats. At the moment, she said, the glacier was pushing forward at the rate of 100 meters a day, the length of a football field, every 24 hours. Sometimes when the wind died, you could actually hear it grinding forward. This glacier had surged more than 10 kilometers in the last few years. Soon they were joined by Astis Sveden's daughter, who could have been Ava's younger sister. She paid flattering attention to Evans, asking him how his trip over had been, how he liked Iceland, how long he was staying in the country. Eventually, she mentioned that she usually worked in the office at Reykjavik and had only come out for the day. That was when Evans realized that she was here doing her job. The sponsors were visiting Einarsson, and Einarsson had arranged for the visit to be memorable. Ava was explaining that although surge-type glaciers were very common, there were several hundred of them in Alaska, the mechanism of the surges was not known. Nor was the mechanism behind the periodic advances and retreats, which differed for each glacier.
"There is still so much to study, to learn," she said, smiling at Morton.
That was when they heard shouts coming from the big tent, and considerable swearing. Evans excused himself and headed back to the tent. Somewhat reluctantly, Morton trailed after him. Per Einarsson was shaking with anger. He raised his fists.
"I tell you no!" he yelled and pounded the table.
Standing opposite him, Drake was very red in the face, clenching his teeth.
"Pear," he said, "I am asking you to consider the realities."
"You are not,"
Einarsson said, pounding the table again.
"The reality is what you do not want me to publish."
"Now, Pear,
the reality," he said, "is in Iceland the first half of the 20th century was warmer than the second half, as in Greenland. The reality is that in Iceland most glaciers lost mass after 1930 because summers warmed by 0.6 degrees Celsius, but since then the climate is colder. The reality is that since 1970 these glaciers have been steadily advancing. They have regained half the ground that was lost earlier. Right now, 11 are surging. That is the reality, Nicholas, and I will not lie about it."
"No one has suggested you do," Drake said, lowering his voice and glancing at his newly arrived audience.
"I am merely discussing how you word your paper, Pear."
Einarsson raised a sheet of paper.
"Yes, and you have suggested some wording.
Merely a suggestion.
That twists truth."
"Pear, with due respect, I feel you're exaggerating."
"Am I?"
Einarsson turned to the others and began to read.
"This is what he wants me to say. The threat of global warming has melted glaciers throughout the world and in Iceland as well. Many glaciers are shrinking dramatically, although paradoxically others are growing. However, in all cases, recent extremes in climate variability seem to be the cause, blah, 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 axfa framvis."
He threw the paper down.
"That is simply not true."
"It's just the opening paragraph. The rest of your paper will amplify."
"The opening paragraph is not true."
"Of course it is. It refers to extremes in climate variability. No one can object to such vague wording."
"Recent extremes? But in Iceland, these effects are not recent."
"Then take out recent."
"That is not adequate,"
Einarsson said.
"Because the implication of this paragraph is that we are observing the effects of global warming from greenhouse gases, whereas, in fact, we are observing local climate patterns that are rather specific to Iceland and are unlikely to be related to any global pattern."
"And you can say so in your conclusion."
"But this opening paragraph will be a big joke among Arctic researchers. You think Motoyama or Sigurdsson will not see through this paragraph? Or Hicks, Watanabe, Isaacson? They will laugh and call me compromised. They will say I did it for grants."
"But there are other considerations," Drake said soothingly. "We must all be aware there are disinformation groups funded by industry, petroleum, automotive, who will seize on the report that some glaciers are growing and use it to argue against global warming. That is what they always do. They snatch at anything to paint a false picture."
"How the information is used is not my concern. My concern is to report the truth as best I can."
"Very noble," Drake said. "Perhaps not so practical."
"I see. And you have brought the source of funding right here in the form of Mr. Morton, so I do not miss the point?"
"No, no, Pear," Drake said hastily. "Please, don't misunderstand."
"I understand only too well. What is he doing here?"
Einarsson was furious.
"Mr. Morton, do you approve of what I am being asked to do by Mr. Drake?"
It was at that point that Morton's cell phone rang, and with ill-conceived relief, he flipped it open.
"Morton?" "Yes?" "Yes, John. Where are you?" "Vancouver? What time is it there?"
He put his hand over the mouthpiece.
"John Kim in Vancouver, Scotiabank."
Evans nodded, though he had no idea who that was. Morton's financial operations were complex. He knew bankers all over the world. Morton turned and walked to the far side of the tent. An awkward silence fell over the others as they waited. Einarsson stared at the floor, sucking in his breath, still furious. The blonde women pretended to work, giving great attention to the papers they shuffled through. Drake stuck his hands in his pockets, looked at the roof of the tent. Meanwhile, Morton was laughing.
"Really? I hadn't heard that one,"
he said, chuckling. He glanced back at the others and turned away again. Drake said,
"Look, Pear, I feel we have gotten off on the wrong foot."
"Not at all," Einarsson said coldly. "We understand each other only too well.
If you withdraw your support, you withdraw your support.
Nobody is talking about withdrawing support.
Time will tell, he said.
And then Morton said,
What? They did what? Deposited to what? How much money are we? Jesus Christ, John, this is unbelievable.
And still talking, he turned and walked out of the tent. Evans hurried after him. It was brighter, the sun now higher in the sky, trying to break through low clouds. Morton was scrambling up the slope, still talking on the phone. He was shouting, but his words were lost in the wind as Evans followed him. They came to the Land Cruiser. Morton ducked down, using it as a windshield.
Christ, John, do I have legal liability there? I mean, no, I didn't know a thing about it. What was the organization? Friends of the Planet Fund?
Morton looked questioningly at Evans. Evans shook his head. He'd never heard of Friends of the Planet, and he knew most of the environmental organizations.
Based where? Morton was saying. San Jose? California? Oh, Jesus! What the hell is based in Costa Rica?
He cupped his hand over the phone.
Friends of the Planet Fund, San Jose, Costa Rica.
Evans shook his head.
I never heard of them, Morton said. And neither is my lawyer. And I don't remember. No, Ed, if it was $250,000, I'd remember. The check was issued where? I see. And my name was where? I see. Okay. Thanks. Yeah, I will. Bye.
He flipped the phone shut. He turned to Evans.
Peter, he said, get a pad and make notes.